There are Christians who are happy that their names don't sound like Christian names. So thank God. My boss doesn't know whether I'm a Christian or not, so he won't stop my promotion. Are you like that? Are you bold wherever you are to be known? I'm not saying we go around advertising, but are you ashamed of one who is not ashamed to die for you on the cross? They have his name on their forehead. You know, in another place it says the Antichrist offers you the option, that's in chapter 13, of having the name on your hand. It's chapter 13, verse 17, just a couple of verses earlier. You can have his mark either on your forehead or, verse 16, you can have the mark either on your right hand or on your forehead. There's an option. The devil says, you can be a public disciple of mine or a secret disciple of mine. You know, you have it, the mark in your hand and nobody can see it. The point is, the devil says, you can be a secret disciple of mine or a public disciple of mine. That's up to you. You know, you can publicly be an atheist or publicly do a lot of wrong things and publicly worship the devil in various ways. Or you can be a secret disciple of Jesus. That means, of the devil. That means you, in your office or at home, you do things which are ungodly. But then you come to the church, your hands are closed and nobody knows the wrong things you have done. Maybe you have done the wrong things with your hand, which pleases the devil and not God. And then you come here and you sit here and sing the songs. The mark is on your hand. Nobody can see it. The devil gives you that option. You're not like those other people who have the mark of the devil on the forehead. You're not an open follower of the devil, a secret one. Just use your hand to sign a false statement to make a lot of some money. Nobody know it. The mark is on the hand. Do something wrong. So, but when it comes three verses down, it says the followers of Jesus, they don't have that option. Jesus doesn't say you can have my hand, you can be a secret disciple of mine. No, you got to have it only on the forehead. That's it. Open. So that this is different from those other people. And it also says about them that they sang a new song, verse 3, which no one could learn except these people. Now, is it, why was it such a difficult tune? Were these great musicians that only they could learn this song? I found some wonderful children of God who can't sing one line of our songs straight. Not one line. I mean, you ask them to lead a song, any song in the world, they'll be wrong in the first line itself. You mean there's no hope for such people in God's kingdom? It's got nothing to do with musical ability. It's the song of the Lamb which they learned. You know what the song of the Lamb is? Worthy art thou, O Lord. I don't deserve anything. I'm nothing. I'm nobody, Lord. It's a song. It's a song that we sing without our lips, in our heart. It's a heart attitude. You know, it says about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You read that verse in Ephesians 5? It means you don't even open your mouth and you're singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's that type of song where in your heart you're saying to God, O Lord, thou alone art worthy. I'm not worthy of anything. I'm just a nobody. I was a nobody when I was first converted. I know I've been in this church many years, but I'm a nobody today. They sing that song all the time. They're singing it in secret to the Lord. There are others who don't know that song. They sang it once when they first came to the church. When nobody knew them, they used to sing, oh, I'm nobody here. I'm so thankful I'm here in CFC. But after some time, they don't sing that anymore. Their song is, well, I thank you, Lord, that I'm also a somebody today. It's another song. They've forgotten the old song. But these people learned this song and went through with that song right through their life. You're a blessed person if you can sing that song till the last day of your life on earth. Lord, thou art worthy. Thou alone art worthy. I'm a nobody. I was a nobody. I'm a nobody. I'll give you a little homework that you should do now and then. I do it often. It really excites me when I do it. I sometimes picture in my mind, you know, we, as I've often said, we have used our imagination for all types of filthy things in the past. Why not use our imagination now for some good things? And here's one of the good things you can use your imagination for. Just picture that the Lord has come and you are now standing in heaven. And boy, what a crowd that is. That's really a mega church. Millions and millions and millions of people, and you're sort of nobody. Nobody knows you. I mean, here in this church, at least somebody knows your name. But boy, can you imagine getting into that crowd? Nobody even knows who you are. You're just standing there. Oh, there, you don't know a guy here, don't know a guy there. And you're standing here. Nobody. And you're absolutely thrilled that nobody knows you. You're really a nobody. And you say, Lord Jesus, thou alone art worthy. I am excited when I use my imagination to think like that. Say, Lord, that's the thing I long for. Here a lot of people know my name. But I'm looking forward to that day when I'll be lost in that crowd. And even if you search for me, you may take many, many hours or days to find me. It'd be such a huge crowd. Oh, just to be lost there. And to be taken up with Jesus. It's a good exercise. So that's how they are. They learn that song. And these are the ones who have not been defiled with women. That doesn't mean they were unmarried. Remember, it's all sign language. And who are the women in Revelation? Babylon, the great harlot, and her daughters. That means those who have the spirit of a harlot, not the spirit of the bride of Jesus Christ. The harlot is the one who claims to be engaged to Christ but is fooling around with the world. No, these people didn't defile themselves with Babylon, the mother, or with the daughters. They have kept themselves pure. And here's the wonderful thing. These are the ones who follow Jesus wherever he goes. You say, Lord, I don't want to go to a single place without you. I don't want to sit and watch a single television program without you sitting there and saying you also enjoy it. I don't want to do anything in my life without you. I don't want to, go anywhere, or if I speak to my wife, I want you to know that you're there. I want you to listen to every word I'm saying to my wife. I want you to hear it. I want you to be happy with the way I'm speaking to my wife. I want you to be happy with the way I'm speaking to my husband. I want you to be happy with my attitude towards the poor people in your church. Lord Jesus, I want you to be with me all the time. They follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And the Bible says here, describes these people as people who've been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb. And here's another characteristic about these people. They did not tell lies. Boy. That's really a miracle. I wonder if there's even 144,000. Some people say 144,000, small number. Are there 144,000 people who never told lies? I mean, not never, who don't tell lies. You know, there's a verse which says, Psalm 58 verse 3. I don't know whether you've read this verse. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They speak lies and go astray from birth. And the Living Bible says, the first words out of the womb are lies. What does that mean? They tell lies as soon as they're born. You know what it is? I have a few grandchildren now, and I'm rediscovering the old days when I had children. How they tell lies.
They cry and scream and you think they are in some terrible pain. They're not in any pain. They just want you to pick them up and pat them. That's all. It's a lie. It's to scare you. And fathers usually get scared. Boy, what's wrong with the child?
Mothers know by now. They just want to be picked up. That's all. They tell lies from the time they are born. You can tell a lie by crying. You can tell a lie without opening your mouth. Ananias and Sapphira told a lie just by joining a queue. How can you join a line of people and tell a lie without opening your mouth? This is the line of the wholehearted people who are giving all their money to God. They just keep quiet and stand in that line. They told a lie just by standing in a line. You can tell a lie by claiming to be a part of a church because you want a name. Because maybe that church has got a name. We've got Abraham for our father. It's wonderful. I want to be, you know, these are the overcomers that the book of Revelation speaks about. People who really overcome. These 144,000 also told lies, just like all other babies from birth. How did they come to the place where it says, finally, there was no lie found in their mouth? They cleansed themselves. They cleansed. They were not different. They were not born different. We all born telling lies. But they cleansed themselves. They cleansed themselves. And they came to the place where no lie was found in their mouth. You know, when I read that, I say, Lord Jesus, make me like that. My heart longs. I say, Lord, I don't want to go to a single place on earth where you're not there. I want to be where you are. I'm willing to go to jail for Christ's sake, or be crucified, or killed for Christ's sake. If you, Lord Jesus, if you're there, I'm happy to go anywhere. I'm happy to do anything.